here this day, we ask that you flow like a stream, that you flow like a river. In power here this day, in each and every one of our lives, so that we would not only be able to experience your presence, your flow here within your temple, but that we would be able to carry your presence, the flow, Lord Father God, as we leave the service here this day, and as we depart to all the places we're going to go to, that we would carry your presence, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here on this beautiful Sunday morning, amen. How many are excited in the house of the Lord here this day, amen? You may have your seats. Worship team, you may have your seats as well. I'm real excited to be preaching here this morning. Amen. As those that testified up here, Brother Alberto and Brother Isaac, there's a lot of things that we're putting together right now for church growth, for personal growth. Amen. That all of us would be able to get connected. Amen. Amen. To be able to get connected. But once again, I'm excited to share the word of the Lord here this day that transformed my life and has continued to transform my life 26 years later. And I testify, I bear witness, if the Lord could do it for me, he can do it for you. No matter where he found you at, amen, when nobody was looking for you but him, amen. I believe he has a word for you here this day, a challenging word to allow you to know as well to where you actually stand with the Lord. Amen. How many think it's important to know where we stand with the Lord? A lot of times we can misgauge it and we can think we're standing real close to the Lord when we're actually not. And sometimes we can feel that we're standing far from the Lord when we're actually closer than we think. Amen. So I pray here the word of the Lord as it goes forth, that it be able to produce a discernment within your life to allow you to effectively know where you stand with the Lord and what he's wanting to do, not just in your life, but through your life. It's got to be important. How many know it's important that God do something in your life? Amen? I believe it's even more important that God do something through your life, because that's how great he is. Amen? As we get into the word here this day, the title of today's message is Deeper Relationship. A deeper relationship, amen? And of course, that's with the Lord. It's with the Lord. It's a familiar portions of scripture I haven't touched on in probably over 15 years. That I haven't preached on these portions of scripture that are so powerful that too much information. So this is going to be a part one of two messages, amen? So there's going to be a part two and concluding of this message next Sunday, amen? So as we read here this day, the opening scripture found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verse 1, I'm going to be reading out of the NLT translation. Amen? And the Bible reads, this was God giving him a vision of what he wanted Ezekiel to see. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you put me to the side, Lord. I ask that you speak to every man, every woman, every young adult, including those viewing online here this day, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I'm going to be speaking here this day and having a deeper relationship with the Lord. How many know when you meet somebody, you really don't know much about them until you start hanging out with them, talking to them, and so forth, amen? And so forth is it is with the Lord. When I set eyes on Marlene 25 years ago, amen, I said, I'm going to end up with her. I probably said it differently, amen? I was fresh out of prison, about a year or two out of prison. Amen. I'm saying it real polished right now. But back then I said, I'm going to get that. That's still real polished in the way I said it 25 years ago. I just gotten out of prison. I was a year in the church, give or take. Amen. And I knew to win her over, I was going to have to know more about her. It came with a little package called Alex, 4 or 5 years old. And I was going to have to get at her, amen, in order to end up with her. And I knew if that was going to take place, I would have to get to know her, her likes, her dislikes. And I was going to have to do my best to convince her that I was the guy, amen? That was the only one. So it took me having a relationship with her. And our relationship is still growing 25 years later. When we're happy, she says, we have such a great marriage. You know that? I love you. But when we get mad at each other, she's not speaking, we have a great marriage. And she'll start talking negative stuff about our marriage. I go, that's not true, love. That's not true. It can't be good one day and the worst marriage in the city the next day. That's called being in spirit and being in the flesh. So me being the head of the household, I got to say, nah, it's not like that. We're just not agreeing right now. Don't make our marriage all messed up. There'll be times that we're going to disagree. And it doesn't have to cancel a relationship. There's times that God's going to ask something from your life and my life that might be for now out of your reach. And there's times I see people argue with God. They're called laminate prayers, when you get mad at God. And he's okay with that because he's our Father. But we can't get mad with our Heavenly Father to the point where we leave him. So here, it's very important that we grow in a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior. Because trying times are here and around the corner and all that and then some. I don't care how educated you might be, how uneducated you might be, whether you have finances, no finances, how long you've been saved doesn't really matter either. There's going to be hard times coming your way. And in order to pass the test of the hard times coming our way, it would be to your benefit, to my benefit, that I continue, even though I've been walking with the Lord for 26 years, because of what's around the corner, it would be to my benefit to continue my relationship with the Lord. Amen. Even though I've been saved for 26 years, don't mean I don't I can stop spending time with the Lord. Even though I know some things now, even though I know how to speak now under pressure, does not mean that I can stop spending time with the Lord. I see it again, the church being packed out. Amen. It's not just a cliche, it's not just an encouraging word, it's a word of truth. We have many things in the mix right now that will be manifesting before your eyes really soon that will allow us, amen, to get on board and to grow in our relationship with the Lord and to teach others how to do it. Amen? So the story I'm going to be speaking on this day is a powerful one. It's very powerful, and I'm going to preach it very simple for every man, woman, young adult present, and those viewing online will be able to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. Amen? Let's read from Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1 through verse 12. Remember, there's a part 2 to this message. And the Bible reads, "In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple." How many have been brought back to the temple? Back to the church. Ezekiel was having a vision. "And in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple." So in other words, there was a stream that was taking place in the temple of God, in the vision that Ezekiel was given by God. There was a stream, and when he was brought back by the man to the entrance of the temple, it was as the stream was going under the door. It was like there was a flood taking place in the church, and it could just get under the gap of the door. And what Ezekiel saw was a stream of water coming under the temple doors going outside. "And there I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right side of the altar." So the source came, I believe, was through the word. Through the word, amen? The word was being preached in the temple, and all of a sudden, a stream, not just any stream, but it was a stream that was flowing. It was a stream that was flowing. As I speak right now, a stream is being created to start to flow right now. A stream is being created right now that's going to come forth from the preaching of the gospel. And it's going to go by the altar. It's going to make its way down by all of us. It's going to go under the temple doors, and it's going to continue to flow, this stream, outside of the church building. And it's going to continue to flow and continue to flow as we continue to read. I need everybody following attention. You can go ahead and go to verse 2, please. "The man brought me outside the wall." So now he was at the entrance, seeing this stream coming under the doors. Now the man is taking them on a journey. Amen. Now they've gone outside. Amen. "The man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing." The water was flowing out through the south side of the east gateway, measuring as he went. It's like he had a measuring tape with him when he was walking with Ezekiel. Amen? You know, there's some, the little rollers that the high construction guys in the freeway and highway, it's a little clicker, and put it, it just clicking. It keeps track of how many feet, how many yards, how many miles. Amen. So I believe he had a little clicker there. Amen. And as the man, as he was walking with this man, as Ezekiel was watching on, the Bible says, measuring as he went, he took me along the stream. In other words, the stream was flowing, and they were on one side of the stream, along the stream. And as they're walking, amen, Ezekiel sees, notices that the man is measuring as they're walking. Amen. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet. So when they measured up to the 1,750 feet, it's like they came to a stop at the part of the stream there. And the Bible says, then led me across the water. In other words, they crossed over that stream that were beside. So from one side, they transferred to the other side. Amen. And the water was up to my ankles. So the Bible tells us that 1,750 feet away from the temple, away from the church, this stream that at one time fitted under the temple door now was a little bit deeper, and it came up, Ezekiel said, up to his ankle. Amen? Then they measured off. They continued to walk. He was in this stream, and it came up to his ankles. Then they continued to walk, the Bible records, another 1,750 feet. And once again, now he's on this side, and once again, led me across the stream, amen? This time, the water was up to my knees. So now they're back on this side of the stream. And now Ezekiel is noticing that the waters are getting deeper, but not really that deep. It went from the depth of under the temple door to his ankle. Now the waters are another 1,750 feet. The waters are up to his knees. And they were able to cross back over, the Bible says. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. Listen to the next line. So then they continued again. After another, this is the third time, after another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. The waters are getting deeper, amen? Then he measured another, for the fourth time, amen, measurement. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. They couldn't. And notice how it changed from a stream into a river now. It was getting deeper and deeper the further it was getting from the temple. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. I'm gonna finish there. I'm not going to read the other half, because I'm going to end up there and then pick up there for next Sunday. In verse 1, the Bible says that Ezekiel was brought back to the entrance of the temple of the church. And I believe many probably made mistakes, amen. And through God's grace and mercy, he brought you back to the temple, back to the church, back to the plan of God. The source of the stream was coming from the temple. Amen. I believe it came from the word of the Lord that was being preached. It made its way under the temple doors. Tells us that the stream was very, very shallow if it could fit under the door. Amen? So here we have this stream, and we find that the source where it came from was from the house of God. I believe it came from the pulpit area because the Bible says that it would pass the altar. It made its way until it was under the church entrance doors. In verse 2, the Bible reads that the man brought me outside the wall. There's a real important point here this day. It's important to come to church. But I believe too many times we don't see the importance of what's taking place beyond the walls of the church and the purpose of the church. Yes, we're to hear God's word. We're to grow in the temple, get instructions. Where they're carried out is outside the walls of the church. And God is believing and trusting in you and I because we know what it is to be outside the walls of the church. We know what it is to be outside of the presence of God, outside the plan of God. If anybody knows that area very well, outside the wall of the church, it should be a people like you and I. But too many times we forget what it was like being outside the walls of the church because we get comfortable in the church. We get comfortable in the church. Or we stay stuck in the church where we can't grow no more because we possibly could not be taking the presence of the Lord beyond the church doors. I believe a lot of people get stuck in the church because they don't partake in the church. I believe when you partake in the church and what the church is doing allows you to carry the plan of God and know the plan of God, not only in the church, but to take it beyond the church doors, church walls, and to give it to a people that doesn't know what's going on within the walls of the church. The Bible says in verse 2, the man brought me outside the wall. Amen? It's important that we take what we learn in the church when we leave the church. Amen. There was a reason the stream could have stayed just flowing inside the temple. See, a stream will fall, water will always find its way, amen? And it was a flowing stream. God could have designed it to where Ezekiel saw a stream coming from the pulpit, past the altar that made itself around and around inside the church. But the story don't go like that. God was giving Ezekiel this vision. And yes, though the church was the source, the purpose of the church was to go beyond the church doors. And I believe too many times, too many people stay stuck in the church, even though they know the plan of God, they know the call of God upon their life, and they get stuck because they don't take it back home with them, to the workplace, to their marriage, to their children, to the street corner. It's important for us to know that the stream, even though it started in the church, it had a purpose to find its way out of the church. What good would you and I be worth unto the Lord, unto the lost and the bound, if we kept everything we learn here and don't take it beyond the church doors. That's where we get the word religion. Many churches are doing that right now. There's some good messages being preached. But are they going outside? Is the message of Christ being taken by us outside, where there's a flow, there's a move of God taking place, not only in the temple, but he really wants to move outside the church. And the only way he can move outside the church is through your life and my life. This is the way the Lord gets down. So here we find out that this stream went under the church temple doors and made its way out 1,750 feet away. And then another time, 1,750 feet away. And then another 1,750 feet away. And then another 1,750 feet away, where this stream became a river. It was stronger at the end than it was from the beginning. I believe here this day that the Lord is putting emphasis outside of the church, where the lost and the bound, the SOS, salvation of souls. I believe that's where God wants to move like a mighty rushing river full of power through your life and my life in our church to get those that are lost and bound saved. And right now as I'm preaching, the stream is starting to flow. It's starting to make its way right now. Not only past the altar, but past your life. And it's not going to stay in here, because it's ordered and commanded by the Lord. It's going to make its way through the bottom. Even though the church doors are closed, it's going to make its way out. Down the steps, this stream is just going to keep flowing where the Lord wants it to flow, until it becomes a river. We find that in verse 3 that in the real beginning, the first 1,750 feet away from the church, that from being very shallow, it became, let's say, 3 or 4 inches deep. Amen? And Ezekiel noticed, I believe when he was at the church door, though, it don't say, he's seen this water coming out from the church. And when he looked at his shoes, it was like, you know, I would say an inch, half an inch. But once he got 1,750 feet away with the man that was leading him beside the stream, and they stopped, and everywhere he went, the man was measuring 1,750 feet every time, 4 times he would stop at that measurement. And Ezekiel, the man didn't tell him, hey, you're in ankle deep water now. The man just reassured him, can you see? Can you see? And at that first measurement, Ezekiel looked down. He says, man, is it me? Am I tripping, or is this water getting deeper? So the man continued to walk with Ezekiel, measuring. They crossed over, measuring as he went to another 1,750 feet. And then the man stopped, and Ezekiel was just there, and he was like, now I know I ain't tripping. I know it's getting deeper. It's to my knees now. And the Bible says, after he got that revelation, that they crossed over the stream again. It was only knee deep. And the man would continue to walk, measuring as he would go. Another 1,750 feet later, they stop again. And this time, Ezekiel's saying, man, this water's at my waist now. The stream is flowing right now. And God is speaking right now. But he wasn't done yet. Too many of you think God's done. You've accomplished a lot in your salvation, your walk, or you haven't. You think God's done, or he's forgotten about you because of your disobedience. He's still here. The stream is still flowing. It's still becoming the river of God. God's plan has not changed for your life. And the man started walking the fourth time. But this time the Bible says in verse 5, then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river, now it's called the river. Ezekiel's walking, they're measuring. Ezekiel's like, man, this started just like a little trickle coming out of the church. See, too many times it's just a trickle that comes out of your life. God's wanting all of you. God's wanting to move in power. You want power of God. There's situations taking place in your life, but you're just giving a trickle back to the Lord. You're just giving a trickle of your time to the church. You're not getting connected. You hear message after message after message, and you're still in the little stream of water that can fit its way under the church temple door. And the message goes forth week after week, year after year, year after year. God wanting to move in your life in a mighty, powerful way. God wanting to save the lost and the bound. But he needs you and I to get past the church doors and make it outside where they're in bondage. I don't know about you, but when I was in bondage, I was not in bondage in the church. And the problem of today, too many are in bondage in the church. Crackheads in the church, spiritual crackheads, spiritual heroin addicts, spiritual drunks, spiritual lazy people in the church. You're addicted to religion. You think because there's a trickle taking place as I'm speaking right now. You see, it's my job to create the trickle. It's your job to get to the river. I'm creating a stream right now by preaching the gospel of the Lord. It's all you need to get to the river, but it's not all you need to remain where you're at. Going off notes a little bit, man, but we're living in end times right now, and I've been a real nice pastor for too long. Trying to pack the church out, trying to do this and this, but nobody wants to get involved. You're lucky if you can make it to church. You think your will is done when you're in church, but you're only getting a trickle. The real church is beyond the church walls. The booyah. I don't know about you, but when I was getting high, I like to put a lot on the spoon, a lot on the pipe, a lot. I didn't want a little hit. I wanted a big hit. But all of a sudden, you become a Christian, you want a little hit. Little hit Christian. I don't want no more. When out in the world, we get stuck on that pipe. We didn't want to give it back. Wait. But now you're in the church, in your right mind, radically saved, and you want a little hit. Oh, my God. I should have made the title Little Hit. Little Hit Christians. Oh, I just want a little hit. I take care of my body. From being a hog in the world, from wanting it all, never being able to get enough, now you want a little hit. Once a week. Psh. He got to the verse 5, and when he measured that 1,750 feet, the Bible goes, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim, but too deep to walk through. I believe you can get through something that deep and walk through, but it was no longer a little stream of ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep. It wasn't just a river. I believe it was flowing with power. What allowed a man or a woman or a young adult to be able to cross it? It was a river now. It was deep now. It was a current of God. The river, the stream represents the presence of God, the Spirit of God was increasing, increasing, and getting deeper and deeper the further it got away from the temple. In the ankle, deep in the knee, deep in the waist, deep, Ezekiel was, get this one, remember in the beginning he would make them cross over and then they would cross to this side again because they were able to do it, amen? In the ankle, deep, knee deep, waist deep, Ezekiel was able to cross back and forth, as scripture told us, through the stream that was flowing. And because he was able to go back and forth at its low stages, meant that he was still in control. He was still in control. He was able to cross over, and he was able to cross back. The stream had not yet become a river with the current, with the force, with the power to take away his control. And the Bible tells us very clearly that he would walk with the man all back and forth from the stream two or three times until verse 5 came around. The water had become too deep, and I believe it had a strong flow to it. If the stream was flowing, you could just imagine what the river was doing. He was still in control. There was still more out of water than there was underwater. And this is the one I want you to get. Too many Christians still in control, going in and out of God's plan, back and forth from God's plan, in and out of the stream, in and out of the stream, in and out of the stream, in the trickle of what God has for your life, in the trickle of what God has for this city. And you never make it to the river. You never make it to the power of God. You never make it to the plan of God for your life because you still are in control and you want to be able to have the power to cross the stream when you want to cross the stream, back and forth, when you want to drink, when you want to smoke on the side, when you want to get laid on the side, when you want to do stupid stuff, and you never make it to the river. You never make it to a place of the power of God because you're still in control. There's still more of you out of water than there is underwater, which allows you full control of your life. Who's in secret sin right now? Because you're going to get put on blast. The Bible says your sin will find you out. I don't care how good you play hide and go seek. You will be found out. Crossing back and forth, the trickle. Easy to leave the things of God. Easy to come back to the things of God. Easy to leave the things of God. Easy to come back to the things of God. You're having a good season, you come back to the things of God. It gets a little rough and you notice it getting deeper. I'm back out of the things of God because I don't want to commit. I'm caught up in my job. I'm caught up with her or him or whatever it might be. That's got control of your life. What's got control of your life? I know God has control of my life. He has control of my life. It started off with just a little stream that was moving to a message in Salinas, California, that through obedience and sacrifice and long suffering, and I made it to the river. You know what the river did in Salinas, California? The river brought me to Milwaukee. There's a powerful river. If I had a choice, I would have loved that river to take me to Texas. But it brought me to Milwaukee because I was no longer in control. I was all in. The water was over my head, and I had to go where the river was taking me, where the Spirit of the Lord was moving me and speaking to me and taking me. I had to follow the river. I was in the river. I was no longer in control. All of me was now under the water, so none of me had control of the place that I would end up at. Heavy message today. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Unless you want to be a little hit addict of the church. Want to be known for the man that should have been the man of God, taking a little hit once a week on Sunday service. The sister that takes a little hit now because she's a Christian. She's no longer doing it all week. She just takes a little hit here and there. Because she's so in control now of the pipe or the bottle of men or the opposite sex. Too many Christians still in control, going in and across the little stream, the trickle of the Lord. Have you ever jumped in a river that's moving? Boy, it's going to take you as soon as you get in there. In South Texas, we used to go to South Padre Island. It was the ocean there, salt water. And we would get out there and we would swim from sand dune to sand dune. Now it was too deep. You had to swim to get to the, and it would get shallow again, then deep and shallow. And by the time hours later we would come out of the ocean, we would be like a mile or two, would end up down the beach because we had drifted. Whichever way the current was going, we would come out an hour or two later way down the beach, thinking that we were still in the same place. Some of you have drifted thinking you're still good with God. Some of you think just because you're in church right now, you're still good with God. But you have drifted, my friend. In a swimming pool, you know, it will say like 3 feet, 4 feet, and then it gets up to five, the pools around town and stuff. And then there's little floaters with a rope. It's the deep end. 95% of all the kids, mothers and guys, everybody's in the shallow water. It's safe there. But in the deep water, amen, where it's 10 feet deep, 9 feet deep, I ain't going over there. And they have a rope. They rope off what's shallow where it goes off into the deep. I was a lifeguard. I was in the swim team. I lived in the deep. My bigger brother and his bigger friends would hold me underwater, man, forever. I must have died 1,000 times. Amen. This is the way we would play. And I believe too many don't want to go to the deep. And the power of God. But you're willing to go to the deep end for the devil. What started as a little stream going out on a Friday night. And as you went out next week, this addiction got a little bit bigger. The stream got a little deeper. And you say, my God, I'm going the wrong way. But, man, I got a smile on my face. And then we were going out Friday and Saturday. Before you know it, we were 24/7. And we kept going even though we knew it was destroying our lives. We were willing to go deep into sin. We were willing to go so deep into sin. I was. Ask me how willing I was. I'll tell you. From the prettiest girls in the clubs to nothing but prostitutes. From all dressed up, thinking I was Scarface in the clubs, to wearing pants, sneakers, and shirts for 2-3 months straight without taking a bath. Eating out of trash cans. How deep was I willing to go? I was willing to die shooting dope over and over and over. I wanted to get deeper and deeper and deeper because it had a high for me. It had something to offer me, even though my life was becoming jacked up. Tell your neighbor, jacked up. But that was B.C., before Christ. I want you to look at your neighbor now and say, jacked up. A.C. It's one thing to be jacked up when you were running with the devil. It's another thing to still be jacked up, saved in the church, 1 year, 2 years, 5, 10, 15 years saved, and you're still jacked up. You're just a sober jacked up. Little two-hit quitter hitter. Still jacked up in the church because you don't want to get involved. Like the pastor's going to bite you or something. I'm biting you right now. Like the pastor's going to ask you to jump off the building. If I ask you to jump off the building up there, amen, I'll say, jump off the building after I jump. You just follow my lead. I jump off the building, you jump off the building. I'm not going to ask you to jump off the building if I'm not jumping off the building myself. I don't know, you can do it, Pastor, but I got to take care of my children. You're jacked up. You're jacked up, parent. Jacked up. Jacked up. Jacked up. Jacked up. Jacked up. Pastor Sonny says, faith, faith, faith. I say, jacked up. Jacked up, jacked up, jacked up. Boy, they shouldn't have gave the rule about taking the tie off. Amen? I knew I had a message, but I didn't know how it was going to come out. Jacked up. Too many Christians still in control going in and out of God's plan for your life and for others. Because you want to hang out in little trickle anointing. Ooh, that was a good message. Pastor preached it jacked up. He said he was calling us jacked up. Then you leave the church. You feel the stream take its effect on you. You feel the presence of the Lord, even though I'm calling some jacked up. The further Ezekiel went from the temple, the deeper the waters got. What started as a stream from the temple had now become a river. The stream at the temple represents God's presence, His Word, Spirit. I have a question here. I should ask you before I use the word jacked up, but how many still sense the presence of God here this day? What started as a stream that was able to flow under the temple doors outside, the momentum grew outside the church, not in the church. Outside. We're going to build this church. It's going to be built from the outside in. That's why evangelism is to my heart. What started as a stream that was able to flow under the temple doors outside got deeper and deeper and deeper, which represents doing it God's way. He's concerned with people out there that are dying, that are lost and bound, that are even connected to us, our brother, our sisters, family members that are tied to us. And we want to take a little hit on Sunday at the church. Okay, Pastor, load up my pipe. Just $2 worth. Just give me a $2 hit. Can I get a $2 hit? In the streets, people would ask for it. There's no such thing as a $2. Chavez, there's such thing as a $2 hit. There probably is if it's a little bit of piece of tortilla you get served. That might be a $2 hit. It's not going to burn real clean, but you can still get a hit. This is the problem, church, and I'm going to end. The problem is, we come to find out this, it just started as a stream, and as it got 750 feet away in another times four, it was a mighty river. Amen? The problem is, that's the way it's supposed to be. The problem is, the further people get from the Sunday morning message, okay, you're all hearing the message, ooh, wow, pastor preached a good message. When you leave the church, the problem is, the further you get from the church, the shallower the little stream that fit under the door gets. Instead of it building like God was showing Ezekiel, the further he got from the church, the stronger his life, the stronger the presence of God. But the problem of the church is that they get the word, they get the message, they get the presence, they get the stream. But when they go outside the church, what is supposed to become greater becomes less than. So, in other words, 20 steps to your car, the stream that fit under the door, all of a sudden, there's not even a trickle, there's not even a stream no more. It just fizzes out before you get to your car. This is part one. Part two is going to be better. Part two is going to be called Jacked Up For Real. I'm sorry, people. I know the audience here. Oh, I never did drugs. You don't have to. You can be sober and be jacked up Christian. You can be a sober, jacked up Christian doing nothing for the Lord. When the stream is flowing right now, even though pastor's using some jacked up words, it's still preaching. He's still preaching the gospel. If you get offended, it's because it's true. Just shake it off. Shake it off. The problem is, when we leave these church doors today, it's what taking place right now going to grow or fizz out. The shallower the stream gets, God's presence, who you are in Christ, as we stand. It's key that you get involved in the church, even if you don't know nothing. Guess what? I got involved in the church, and I didn't know nothing. Now I'm night and day brainstorming from the morning till night, brainstorming. And I promise myself, when I go to sleep, you know how they got little, your watches can tell you, you know, for those trying to lose weight, how many steps you did? You should do 10,000 steps or something like that a day, right? I wish they had a little thing to meter how many words I say in a day, man. My God. It was another day I had talked to 1,000 people. My phone plugged in the whole time I'm talking. And by that nighttime, I told my wife, my stomach muscles, I said it, stomach muscles were sore from talking all day long like this. Like, we gotta make this happen. I'm in the river. But it's hard to communicate from the river when people are still in the shallow. It's like being in the 3 foot of water and I'm in the pool and I'm telling you, go to the deep. I ain't going to the deep. I can't swim. You don't have to know how to swim. Sink or swim. I didn't know nothing when I started. But the stream was flowing, man. The stream was flowing in the church. And I wanted what that stream had to offer. I wanted what that stream, and I would come to the altar. I wouldn't even pray for a wife. I thought I would never get one. I wanted women. I didn't want a woman. So I didn't pray about that one. I didn't want to mess that one up. But I would come to the altar, and one thing I would, I haven't said in a while, one thing I would come to the, I never missed one altar call in my 6 years in Salinas, California, because the stream was always flowing and it was calling my name. And the stream wanted to show me what it was going to become. And if I was to follow the stream, that the stream would lead me to the river of God, the power of God. So I would come to the altars. I'm smoking at this time, 3 packs a day. And I would come to the altars, God, God, God. And the presence of God would come upon me, and I would ask him, God, God. And I would tell God, I want to be able to take this presence. I want to be able to take you outside of the church. I want this feeling in my car. I want this feeling in my apartment. God, I want more. I don't want this little hit. And I would beg God month after month, God, God. Because when I would leave the church door, I would light one up, and I had whirly music on, and I would go checking out all the girls, and I would about my way again on parole. And Sunday would come again, God, God. What I was telling God is, I want to change. I want to change. I know I'm not changed yet. And God, God, I want this presence. I want this stream. I want it when I leave the church. I want it in my car. I want it in my house. I want it in my relationships. I want it with my pastor, the leader. God. And one day, he started changing my life, where I would leave the church doors of the temple, and I would go to my car, and no longer was a cigarette being sparked up. No longer was the station on a worldly station. But now I had worship music. Now I had hard candy to eat like a nut because I was detoxing from nicotine. And now I'm able to carry the presence of God all the way to Germantown, more than 1,750 feet away from here. I have what you have right here, right now. I have it every day at my house because I choose to get in the river. I choose to get with God. I choose to make a decision or make a difference in somebody else's life. And that's why sometimes I go a little ghetto to make sense to some of you that are still ghetto. I know what it is to be ghetto. I know what it is to be going the wrong way, thinking I'm going the right way. I know what it is. So I would ask God, I need your presence when I leave this church. What good is it just getting it for an hour and then leaving it, being miserable the rest of the week? I'm in the river now. But I got committed to the church in every ministry but the worship team. I got committed, and this is what led me to the river, was my commitment to the church, my commitment to God, to my pastor. Why I'm still around 26 years later in the river of God, preaching from the river of God to the shallow. There's a scripture in the Bible says, the deep calling to the deep. God wants to speak to your life deep revelations, but he can't give them because you can't get the shallow revelations. We all want the deep things of God, but you can't get the shallow revelations. But you want to be used by God in a mighty power. Use me, God. And he said, I want to use you. You got to get out of the shallow. You're still ankle deep. You're still in control. And for those that think you're doing good, you're still knee deep. I can't use you. You're still in control. For those that are waist deep, I can't use you. You're still in control to walk in and out of the stream. But he wants you to get to verse 5, to where now it's a river that's too deep to walk across, too powerful to get across. And Jesus saying, this is where I brought you. Jump in. I got you. Jump in. You want to be led of the Spirit? Jump in the water. Jump in the river. I will take you where I want you. I will be in control. And you will reach your destination. My destination was Milwaukee, out of all places in the whole planet called Earth. I didn't pick Milwaukee. God did. I picked Alaska. I don't know what, Canada. I don't know why I want to go to Canada either. But that was my pick, Orlando, Canada. But God says, no, jump in the river. I'll tell you when you get there, like he told Abraham. Just jump in the river, I'll tell you when you get there. And I ended up here in Milwaukee. And I've been here ever since. I'm not even a resident of Milwaukee, but I am now. 20 years and counting. You can do it, guys. You can do it, but you got to get involved. You got to sign up, man. You got to sign up. I my office, I got all kinds of good dope in there. I'll light you up. I'll set you up. Instead of a kibble, I don't serve kibbles. I serve booyahs. Big hit. Where you go, you come out and say, man, let's do this, Pat. Now I know what you're feeling. Big hit. And you know there'll be another big hit the next day, because God is the deliverer. He delivers. He's the connection of connections. And I say it again, and I'll say it over and over. I get high on the Most High. I'm lit right now. I'm strung out on Jesus. And I don't want no rehab. Don't take Jesus away from me. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. The stream is flowing. The stream is flowing. The presence of the Lord is here. Next Sunday, I will share the results of jumping into verse 5, of jumping into the river. I will show you the results next Sunday of what takes place when a man is obedient, a woman, a young adult, and getting involved with the church. God's wanting to use everybody. You don't have to ever touch the drug in your life. God wants to use you. There's a lot of people beyond these walls that are not doing drugs and are lost and bound in need of direction of the river. Tell the Lord, get me to the river. Let this stream get me to the river. I want what the river has to offer. Tell them, get me to the river. The plan of God, the call of God. All of my own. Oh, shata yerebe sitarabakoya. I know I'm chosen for something.